Well, happy Thursday. Welcome to another edition of Perspectives on WFSU Public Media. And before we get underway, a reminder, you are always welcome to be part of the conversation, no matter what it's about, no matter where it may wander and wrap around. You can reach us at 850-414-1234 telephonically, or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. Well, on Saturday, June 1st, there's going to be hundreds of volunteers convening early in the morning at Tallahassee's Godby High School, and over the course of a few hours, they're going to be preparing tens of thousands of food packages, which will then provide nutritious sustenance to families in our community who would otherwise go without over the summer when the schools are shut down and those meal programs that they host for the kids are closed as well. And while we're talking about food, that also remains a challenge for many folks in the area impacted by Hurricane Michael to the west of us, many of whom remain in Tallahassee today. There was a big rally at the Capitol tomorrow, and I believe that there are coaches from the region who are going to be speaking on behalf of those families a little bit later on today at the Capitol, like around noon. That's going to be coming up. We hope to be telling you more about that on this evening's Capitol report that we air starting at 6:30 this evening. But anyway, we're going to be covering those topics and many more here on Perspectives today as we get into the full summer program and what's going on as far as food distribution in our area. And let's go around the table and meet the folks who are going to be delving into that tasty topic with us. First of all, we welcome Todd Lantner, assistant principal of Godby High School. Go Cougars. Good to see you, Todd.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
We also say hi, first time to these microphones, I believe, Sherry Hubbard, director of community relations for Second Harvest of the Big Bend. Welcome, Sherry.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And coming back to these microphones, this has become like an annual tradition for us here from the full summer program, Becky Liner. Hey, Becky.
Hey, we're glad to be back. Thanks for having us.
It's always a joy to have you, along with your cohort in crime, Laurie Messer. Hey, Laurie.
Hi, Tom.
And thanks for helping put together this panel here today. For the uninitiated, and I know there's at least one or two, Laurie, who might not be familiar with the full summer program that we have been talking about now for the past, oh my gosh, how many years? Yeah, I can't believe that. That's...
Yes, you had us on the first year that we didn't even really know what we were doing 7 years ago in 2013. So a full summer is a meal assembly event. It's a joyous way to do good and have fun at the same time. On June the 1st, for 2 hours from 10 to 12, over 250 volunteers from all parts of the community come together at Godby High School to assemble 60,000 meals of macaroni and cheese and apple cinnamon oatmeal to be distributed by Second Harvest throughout the summer to children's programs in food insecure areas of our community, to include the Big Bend.
Well, I'll tell you, major providers of food such as Green Giant and Del Monte have nothing on you guys because you put together just a phenomenal kind of production line with those volunteers to get those 60,000 meals packaged. And Becky Leiter, how did you get involved? I don't think we ever really fully got that story, how you got involved into the Full Summer Initiative.
Well, Tom, I will tell you, it was serendipitous, actually. I had traveled with a church group to the Chicago area, and we had participated and volunteered at a food program up there that was called Feed My Starving Children. And it just, I was just so impressed, and I became passionate about bringing that kind of program to our community. Well, at the same time, my partner in crime, unbeknownst to me, Laurie Messer, had been talking about the same kind of issue with her church, St. John's Episcopal. And a mutual friend of ours, Laurie was speaking with, and the woman she was speaking with actually goes to church with me, and she introduced Laurie to our pastor, and our pastor said, "I have just the person that you need to meet." And we met, and here we are all these years later, both of us passionate about making sure children have enough food to eat in the summer.
Well, 7 years ago, again, that was at your church then, Laurie, St. John's Episcopal.
At St. John's. And I have to mention our third partner in crime, Tracy Ippolito, who does all the graphic work, who does all the online communications. you know, when we got this together and figured out it had to be the first Saturday in June, I'm like, what do we name it? And so she's been a great partner with Becky and I as well.
And if you go onto the Facebook presence, you will see some of her great graphics that are there. But after about 3 years or so, you guys wandered over to the other end of town and wound up at in Cougarville at at Godby High School. And
yes,
and Todd Lander, what's it like to have 250 folks in your cafeteria all cranking out those food packages? Kind of a wild scene, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an amazing event to watch from the setup to the actual production and then to the breakdown. It's really neat to watch how it goes up and how efficient it is, because we were packed last summer in the cafeteria. It was completely full, and it ran smooth, and it's just really something to watch.
Well, let's talk about the need for this, because Sherry Hubbard, you got a handle on this. We do know about the well-publicized economic disparity within our community. That Forbes magazine study from several years ago just keeps rearing its head over and over again to show that while we have lots of folks at the top end of the economic scale, there's a bunch of folks that do not come anywhere near that kind of accomplishment. So for our area here in Leon County, what's the food situation like for some of these neighborhoods?
Well, I can tell you that five of the most food insecure counties in the state are in our 11-county service area, and Leon County is one of them. And a lot of people don't realize that the need is that great. The statewide food insecurity rate is right at 14%, but here in Leon, in Second Harvest Service Area, it's closer to 20%. So we're well above the state food insecurity rate average in this area. And that is very sad when you consider that there are more than 21,000 children in our immediate service area that often don't know where their next meal is coming from and really rely on schools to provide those healthy and nutritious meals. So, of course, when summer rolls around and they're not getting those on a regular basis, then we need to do everything that we can to meet that need.
Yeah, and even just at Godby, Todd, how many kids qualify for the free or reduced lunch and breakfast programs over there?
So Godby is a Title I school, so all of our students receive free lunch and free breakfast. And if you were to walk into our cafeteria at 11:20, you would the majority of our kids are taking advantage of that. So all of our students eat free and reduced lunch.
Yeah, and even though that zip code is 32303, it also borders up to 32304, which is one of the most poverty-stricken, I believe the most poverty-stricken in the state of Florida.
Yes, sir. We also have a food bank at our school, and there are several students that come every Friday to my conference room in attendance and take a bag of food home for the weekend.
Okay, and Laurie Messer, this is something that attracted you very, very early on, the recognition that this type of problem really did exist, and it wasn't something you bumped into a lot day to day, but no. You knew it was there.
Well, you know, it's funny, Tom. I had a real desire on my heart to do this. I had done it in 2011. I had experienced it. And when I went to my church to ask if we could do it, I wanted to do it in March. And they said, I'm sorry, the only Saturday we can let you have our fellowship hall is the first Saturday in June. I didn't know about this food insecurity issue with children during the summer. That's why I feel like it's, for me personally, it's a faith thing that this is something that happened. And part of the reason that we do it at Godby and we bring people from all over the community in one space is not just to make the food that scratches the surface of the problem. It's to make these people aware. I love it when children from the north side of town come and have a team here and realize that there are people, they may even know people and not realize it, who suffer from hunger. So it's not just about making meals, it's about making people aware and making people want to take action and do something about a problem we all share in this community.
This is probably a good place to remind folks that even though this event is coming up on June 1st at Godby, I bet you're going to get some people say, I can help. I'm thinking of our mutual pal, Josie, who got on Facebook the other day and said, I want to come. You said, Josie, hold off here. We do have a full summer contingent of volunteers, but
We do, and we have a waiting list. It's like Todd said, it's a well-oiled machine, so everybody that shows up has a place to be. So you just can't show up off the street, unfortunately. But we expanded a full summer last year to include a canned food drive, and we're doing it again this year. So if you would like your organization, I even have a tennis group from Golden Eagle who are collecting canned foods. It doesn't need to be an official organization. Please contact me at our website, info@fullsummer.com. I can get a donation box to you. We'll have signage. You let your people know, and we'll pick it up on May the 30th, the day before we set up for a full summer.
Yeah, one little codicil that we want to throw in there, and Sherry, you can certainly talk to that, is when you donate canned goods or other non-perishable food items, please check the use-by date or the purchase-by date, because I know this is a problem over at Second Harvest. You will get in a deluge of food, and a lot of it you cannot use because it's expired, in some cases even spoiled.
Sometimes that happens, Tom, but actually people would be very surprised if they came into our warehouse and took a tour and they went through the sorting area where our volunteers work so hard for us to sort all that donated food. There is a USDA sell-by chart on the wall. It's huge, which is great for people my age who appreciate the larger print. But some things are actually good up to 5 years past that sell-by date. Now, we love it when we get things that are, you know, the sell-by date is not as a non-issue. But if it's if the date is, for example, today's date or a few months in the past, it might still be good for a couple of years. So it's not as huge of a concern as you might think.
Okay, good point. We appreciate that. We're talking about Hunger, the full summer program that is going on here come June 1st. And also we have Sherry Hubbard from Second Harvest of the Big Bend here with us on Perspectives. Love to hear from you too, and we'll be right back. And we are back on Perspectives. A reminder, you can always find us online at WFSU.org. What a great website, huh? Just go there, click on radio, hit local programs, Perspectives will pop up. Hit that. We try to have the most recent program up within 24 hours of when it actually appears on the radio. And at some point, I think we are going to be expanding this to a multimedia extravaganza. You'll be able to watch us on Facebook Live and other platforms at the same time. So we can be diverse and multi-talented here, too. If you want to use the old-fashioned phone, that's fine, too. 850-414-1234. And we are chatting with Laurie Messer and Becky Liner and Sherry Hubbard and Todd Lantner here on Perspectives, and love to hear from you too. We were talking about donations, food donations, and non-perishable canned goods, all that, but there's one goodie that is always delicious, and no matter how much you give, or it is what, Sherry?
Funds, cash, monetary donations. We are great stewards of any money that is donated to us at Second Harvest, and it really gives us the power to fill in the gaps in the food bank that the average person just wouldn't know about. We always know what we need, and so we really appreciate those funds that are donated to us, and it's very simple to do in conjunction with this event. If folks go to the website of fullsummer.org, there's a link where they can make a monetary donation.
Terrific. Is that you just cannot go to the Publix deli and get four meals for a buck.
This is true.
But you can through Second Harvest of the Big Bend. I think that's what you have, this incredible volume buying power at your disposal for this.
It's that. It's all those great relationships. It's also a combination of what's in the food bank that's donated that helps us stretch that dollar so that we can provide up to four meals for every dollar that's donated to the food bank.
Let me throw this out to Becky and Laurie here, because you had kind of mentioned it in passing, Laurie, that you want to make this a sustaining kind of effort beyond just the full summer packathon itself, and to interface with Sherry and the folks over at Second Harvest, and using the school district and all the other partners that you can get on deck here to keep this going? Because you eat one meal and it's the old saying, a couple hours later you're hungry again. This is an ongoing concern. So how do we keep this rolling?
Well, I think just by being aware. I think people, dependent upon where they live, or may not even be, know that this has happened. But whether you're hungry or not, food insecurity affects you, because as we've talked about, this community has its problems. It's segregated to a certain extent, economically, racially. And when a child can't, when they don't have food, they can't learn. They can't be trained for a job. It's going to affect the overall community when you can't have a population of young people who can get educated. And
well, I would just add to that, since the inception of a full summer, as the program has grown, we've actually become a 501c3. So it's a full summer is a legitimate 501c3. And one of the main reasons for that is because we do know that the need is going to extend in for many years ahead. And so when our board meets, we often discuss, where do we go from here? What are the needs? We meet with Second Harvest and say, what else do you need? What else can we do? We're pretty much maxed out facility-wise because of how the pack occurs, which is one reason we added the canned food drive. And we're always looking at what can we do down the road to keep this up.
Okay, and Todd Lander, talk about the impact, as Laurie had alluded to there, on kids who, even though you got the breakfast and the lunch program, all Title I schools do, including Godby, kids who come to school hungry, and what impact that has on their ability to focus and learn and do what they're supposed to do.
Well, that has a huge impact. You know, if a kid's hungry, and we have kids all the time that come to the office during the day that maybe got to school late and didn't have a chance to eat breakfast, that, you know, we'll give them something to tide them over to lunch. But yeah, it's a huge impact on the ability to learn, to sit in a classroom hungry. Absolutely. And, you know, so in a month or in a month and a half, when these kids graduate and they go into the summer, that those two meals are gone for those kids.
Yeah, and you've had an ongoing program at Godby, too. I think you had a community food drive, a couple of them, as a
absolutely,
matter of fact.
Absolutely, yeah. There
are some needy neighborhoods in our area.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. And, you know, when you start to do home, as an administrator or a guidance counselor, when you start to do home visits, that's when you can really see the need. One of our guidance counselors and myself did a home visit to a student that's a senior maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and there's nothing in the house. There's absolutely nothing in the house. And when I say nothing, I mean I'm talking about from food to furniture. There's nothing in the house, you know. So this child is really struggling. And, you know, and so our goal is get that child back in school so that, you know, so that she can have a good breakfast, have a good lunch, and continue her education. But so it's definitely a huge need in our community.
Yeah, without the intervention of the school, who else would have known? Really?
Yeah, because the child's not going to tell anybody. The child's not going to say anything. I mean, you know, a lot of times that's a source of embarrassment for a child, you know, and so that's something they have to overcome, and they can only overcome that with the help of an adult.
And how many of us remember, you know, that special adult, be it a teacher or some other mentor we had as a kid who helped either keep us on track or, who knows, turn us around completely because of that. And Sherry, throughout the entire service area of Second Harvest to the Big Bend, those stories are repeated over and over again.
Absolutely. And I was glad that Todd mentioned, you know, no food in the house. We actually started a new initiative at Second Harvest to help the community, give them an opportunity to come in and learn more about the food bank and about the issue of hunger. And it's a monthly lunch and learn. People can sign up and come in and get a tour. And one of the questions that I get is, what exactly is food insecurity? Because it's something that we talk about a lot, but what does that mean? And it literally means you don't know where your next meal is coming from. And so when Todd talks about the children in a home with no food, you know, this is literally what it is. And so one of the programs that we have during the school year is a backpack program where kids get to take a backpack with six meals home for the weekend. And the stories, because we do surveys with the children that we hear from them, would really break your heart. Some of the children eat all the food on the bus before they can even get home. Some of them hide it when they get home so that it won't be taken away from them. But other kids are so proud to be able to contribute to their household, to present that food to their parents and to do something to help their household. So people need to understand just the extent of the issue.
Let's add Ted to the conversation. He's giving us a call here on Perspectives. The number, by the way, is 850-414-1234. Easy to remember. Hey, Ted, thanks so much for calling. Welcome to Perspectives. How you doing? Hey, Ted. Make sure Ted is on. Hello, Ted. We're pushing buttons here. We're there. Okay. Are you there, Ted? Okay, Ted wanted to talk about nutrition and learning, which is what we had already broached here with Todd, but the impact, especially I'm thinking on younger kids. We had some people in who were involved with the Children's Services, which the council was not up and running yet. That will be up to the voters of Leon County. But the fact that between 0 and 3, that seems to be the spot where you really have to put so many of the resources, whether it's learning or nutrition or just proper upbringing. You can't wait until they're in first grade. You've got to really work with kids very, very early on. Okay, let's see. Ted, are you there, sir? Oh, he just disconnected. Okay. Little technical thing here. That's the wonders of live radio. But can we talk about that, guys? How important that is to get to families, especially the ones with the littlest kids, to try to help them out? And how do we determine who those families are, where they are, that kind of thing?
Well, one of our initiatives moving forward, because we definitely recognize this issue, is we're increasing dramatically our mobile distributions, especially after the hurricane. There are still some areas, for example, in Gulf County, where our one partner is down. So in order to distribute food, we're doing mobile distributions because we don't have a brick and mortar site there. But it's very important to us to continue to do more mobile distributions. And that presents an opportunity moving forward to bring in other partners to meet these additional needs. So for example, Whole Child Leon or Career Source Capital Region, so that when we have the people there with us and we can say, okay, so here's your food. We've met that basic need. Do you need some help looking for a job? Would you like some help creating a resume? Do you even know that this resource is available? Do you know that these resources are available for your family through Whole Child Leon? So working collaboratively to help lift people up and moving forward, that's a very important initiative at Second Harvest.
And I think there's a new one here that we just got a national award for, too, through Domi Station, the Huckster's Mobile. It's like a food truck. Or an ice cream truck with broccoli instead of chocolate and sprinkles. But some young folks through the auspices of Domi Station and using an online app and several other cutting-edge bits of technology now have that they're going to take into neighborhoods. And kids can run out and get fresh fruits and vegetables and stuff.
That's awesome.
I love
it.
Yeah, Wired Magazine just gave us a national award. They're going to have a big party at the end of the month. I think Ted is back on. Is that right, guys? Okay. Sorry about that, Ted. You know, sometimes you hit the wrong button and you pull in someone from Brazil, but I think you're here in this area, right?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, sir. What would you like to talk about, Ted?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that the efforts by Second Harvest are absolutely laudable, and we just very much appreciate that. My comment, though, is centered around the, I believe it's Title IX schools. Is that a, I forget the title, but where, like, Godby is, the school that our children are involved in is also that type of school. And we are very much dismayed at the quality of the food. The essentially, the breakfast menu options are nothing but sugar. There is nothing healthy about anything that is in there. They start with chocolate milk, strawberry milk, and then move into 2% or even, I think it's skim milk. But there's no whole milk options, and all of those milk options are just loaded with sugar. I mean, that's what fat-free is. You spin out the fat and you add sugar to it. And then you move into, you know, what they actually get, and the best option that we saw was sausage pizza over a cinnamon bun, and I think it was four different cereal choices that were just high sugar. And then that spreads on into the classroom where the children are motivated with candy and other sweets. This is just completely antithetical to learning. And so, while, you know, it's great that we're feeding kids, we're pumping them full of the wrong stuff. And I'm just wondering where our dietitians are in school.
Oh,
and I'll take my my questions offline.
Okay, thank Ted. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And Todd, I'm not sure the breakfast and luncheon program in Title I schools. How that food originates? Is it is provided by the federal government, or how does that work?
I know that, you know, that there are guidelines that our district follows. The things that I see that our students are bringing out of the cafeteria in the mornings, and that I see them eating for lunch, look like high, you know, quality meals to me. I don't see the children eating things that I would consider to be, you know, bad or harmful to them. I think they're, you know, I think the guidelines that our district has are appropriate for what the students are getting.
Cafeteria supervisors, I know, have been struggling with this issue for years and years. Dating again back when I was in school, when they, instead of pre-packed meals, they actually had freshly cooked meals. Because that was the standard back in the day. That was even before TV dinners, guys. So, you know, yeah, we had coal-fired electric guitars. It was wonderful. but anyway, and the cafeteria workers would prepare well-balanced meals, meat, two veg, a carbo, usually a roll or something like that. And if we were really lucky, once or twice a week, we would have some kind of small dessert cake or something. But you also would have a teacher by the garbage can who, if you were going to dump any of that, would make you turn around and go back and, you know, well, not exactly, yeah, force feed you, but you had to consume that. Now there are more choices because a lot of kids won't eat that.
Well, there are. I mean, there's an a la carte line where the students can get a chicken sandwich or a hamburger. But the main lines basically are what you just described. You know, they're meals that are cooked. There are vegetables. There's meats. That's what I see our kids at Godby. You know, that's what I see them getting when they go through the line.
And there had been a big oh my gosh, controversy too about some of the vending companies putting in you know, snacks and that kind of thing that some parents objected to, and then other parents said, "Well, that's fine. You know, my kid should have that option."
Well, that's not an option at our school. There aren't any vending machines that the kids have access to.
There you go. Okay, but because a lot of us, it's been a while since we've been back in school, so
yes,
this is a good update, Tom. Appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
So, but that's still it brings to programs like Full Summer a consideration of exactly what will families eat, and our tastes have changed over the years.
Well, and it's true, and we do assemble macaroni and cheese and apple cinnamon oatmeal because kids like that, but it's also developed by nutritionists. So the meals that we're giving or that we're assembling are nutritionally balanced. They're
fortified.
Not sugary. Yeah. they're good meals.
Mm-hmm. And a problem for Second Harvest too, Sherry, that again is tastes change, because you can put all the nutritious food that you want into a community, but if the kids don't eat it, what good is it? It goes to waste.
Well, we have what we consider we call it the Super Six, and whenever you're doing a food drive, those will be listed on the donation bins that we provide for people. So it's things like peanut butter, canned soups and stews that are hearty, canned fruits and vegetables, cereal always. Those are the things that are nutritious and that are easy to get to people and have a long shelf life and are stable and that we most need. So that's why we call them our Super Six.
Okay, that makes good sense. We are talking about nutrition and food and the alleviation of hunger in our area here on Today's Perspectives. And as always, just like Ted, you are more than welcome to be part of that conversation at 850-414-1234. If it's more convenient to drop us an email, we invite that too, perspectives@wfsu.org. And a quick program reminder that next week we have a very fascinating program. We're going to be talking about health beyond nutrition and some rather scary statistics that were just made known to us within the past couple weeks right here in the Leon County area. More on that to come right here on Perspectives. Don't run off. Back on Perspectives, a tasty topic here, alleviating food problems here in our area. And we are joined once again on the phone, which is, by the way, 850-414-1234, by Brian. He's online, too, and he joins us now. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I heard something alarming, which was the previous speaker saying that cereal was an important part of a child's diet. Here's the thing. Wheat is the enemy, okay? You have to understand, it has been so changed throughout time, you know, that it's not the same product that it used to be. And it's not good for you. You ever heard the term wheat belly? That's what's wrong with America. That's why everybody's fat.
Let me get that around the table, and we'll talk about that, Brian. There certainly is no lack of controversy when it comes to food and nutrition and things that were thought of as being super healthy and nutritious many years ago. There may be some issues today as we find out more about different kinds of things. But can we get rid of wheat and maybe just substitute oats or rice or something like that? Is that realistic?
There's always a variety of cereal that comes into the food bank. And, of course, when food goes out to our 135 partner agencies, the clients who are getting the food are able to choose. And everything that comes through the food bank has to have a label on it. So anyone that has an allergy or prefers to avoid certain types of things like wheat certainly would have that choice.
Okay, because we certainly have gone on a non-gluten kind of kick, which is a constituent of wheat-based products. But I remember my mom raised us on cream of wheat, but as Brian said, it maybe the wheat has changed, GMOs, all that kind of thing. A lot of controversy going on there. Seamus had called. He wanted to know about the Farm Share program. I know it's been also picking up surplus fruits, vegetables, produce type things and getting out into communities. Is that a competitor of Second Harvest, Sherry? Do you guys work together? What's the situation with those people?
All the food banks are working for the good to feed hungry people in this area, and everybody's doing good work. They have a different model than we do, but you know, we appreciate everything that any food bank, food pantry, soup kitchen is doing to help meet the need and the meal gap in our area.
Because there is a recognition now that, especially when it comes to whether it's restaurants or commercial supermarkets or that sort of thing, there is always a huge surplus of food that very often is disposed of, and it doesn't get it into the chain of people. How do we deal with that, guys? I mean, that's a big topic. That's like, you know, trying to solve world peace here around this table, and I don't think we're going to do that. But Todd, any ideas what you do with that? We have lots of leftovers, for crying out loud, but...
Yeah, and I think that we're all working towards the best solution for this, and we're obviously not at that point yet, but that I think that's where we're trying to get to, and you know, but I think along the way, I think we've got to remember that we're dealing with a lot of people that have nothing, so you know, what we're able to offer now is better than where they're at. And hopefully that will continue to increase and grow towards the best solution. But we're certainly not there yet.
And through things like this, engaging more and more the community and partnerships and all, Laurie.
Well, and that's kind of what a full summer is about. We saw a problem. Obviously, people see other problems in the community. So you don't wait for the government to handle it or for somebody else to do it. You take action. You make things better if it's in a small way. If everybody made things better in their own little small way, think about what that could do. So I guess my thing is, we saw hungry children. We try to do something. We're not solving the problem, but we're certainly not making the problem worse. We're trying to make it better.
And certainly putting a huge dent into that. 60,000 servings is nothing to be sneezed at. That is a lot of food. That's tons of food that you guys pack in a two-hour period.
We do, and it's a lot of fun. There is nothing that says that you can do good and not have fun at the same time. We have a DJ there, Coach Willie Brown, and we dance, and that's why we have a waiting list.
Yeah, that makes your cafeteria a rocking place there, Coach. I'll tell you, it really does.
It really does. It's great to see that occur.
And I'm going to hush after this, but I just have to say a shout out to Godby High School. All of the Leon County High Schools, Lincoln and Rickards, all of them have been very wonderful. But it's not just the administration, because in addition to the 250 volunteers we have approximately 50 young people who are from Godby and Boys Town of North Florida, who fill bins, who carry boxes, who some of them, I don't know, may be recipients of what that they are assembling. So I just a shout out to these young people. They are amazing.
Okay, and Becky Liner, that's training too for the future, where you get kids that are looking to meet a community need. And hey, it's not serious and deadly dull or anything. It actually can be fun. And the feeling that you get after doing something like this is just, you cannot put a price tag on that.
No, you can't. And, you know, many of our young people that are volunteering, they see the need. They know that some of their friends, and maybe even some of our volunteer young people, their own family have struggled with food insecurity. So... it's a model for them about how a community cares for each other. And I know Lori and I and Tracy firmly believe, and I believe that everybody around this table believes, that the children in our service area belong to all of us. And we need to take care of them when circumstances prevent them from having what they need to thrive. And it takes all of us to create a community where children are valued and cared for.
And as you have already proven through this massive concentration of resource into just a two-hour period, if you got 10,000, 20,000 more people involved with this, and just everybody kicks in a little tiny bit, the many hands make light work mantra there, you could solve a lot of problems.
You could. I think sometimes it stops people because they're like, well, my little bit doesn't make a difference. Well, if we all think that I'll do whatever I can, then it will make a difference. So,
yeah, wasn't that how the Grand Canyon was created? One little drop of water at a time.
Well, my mama always told me this poem, and my children hear this. It says, "Little drops of water, little grains of sand make the mighty oceans and the desert land."
Can we use that?
Sure.
I won't even have to pay a royalty. That's a good thing. Thank you, Laurie.
You're welcome.
If you were just tuning in to Perspectives, we have an all-star cast. We're talking about the upcoming full summer packathon, as I like to call it, at Godbey High School, that's coming up on Saturday, June the 1st, from 10 until noon. It's going to be frantic activity for sure. They are all full up there. But let's talk again about the canned food drive, because that kicks off May 1st and concludes May 30th, featuring the Super Six.
Yes. All you have to do is go to info@afullsummer.com. I'll get the email. We'll get a box to you, signage to you. You just have to advertise it, and we'll pick it up, and we'll weigh it at Second Harvest, tell you how much you collected, and then tell you the overall weight. The day of the event, too, we ask our volunteers to come and bring canned foods from the Super Six. So we add that to the meals as well.
And these individual things really help out Second Harvest, Sherry. I mean, without these sorts of things, I know you can leverage the cash, and we'll revisit that in a moment. But these periodic and ongoing efforts to try to get more wholesome food from the community into your pipeline, that helps out.
Absolutely. And if anyone ever had an opportunity, I don't know if any of our listeners have ever been out to the warehouse, the Second Harvest warehouse, and seen our Food on the Move bus. But we have, it's an old Leon County school bus that was donated to us by Foundation Leon County Schools. And we painted it white, and it has festive fruits and vegetables on it. And it's tricked out inside. And this is during the summer feeding sites. We have about 17 of them, some brick and mortar, but 10 are mobile sites where we take our bus. And it goes from June 3rd to August 9th, 5 days a week, five communities every single day. And the kids, they see it coming, and they get so excited, and they run, because this is one of the places where we distribute the food. So they're going to get a healthy meal. Our nutritionist talks with them. She develops fun games for them to play that help them learn about eating healthy food. Recipes are shared with them that they can go home and take and share with their family members. And I was just talking to the gentleman on our staff who drives the bus, Glenn, yesterday. He's so excited already just thinking about Food on the Move getting started, because it's right around the corner.
Now, does the Food on the Move bus have a happy little tune it plays, kind of like the Mr. Softy truck?
Well, it's quite something. I have pictures of it that I show in my presentation. I do believe the music is a component of it, yes.
Okay, because that's always the most exciting thing. When you hear that little tune and up comes the bus, you know there's good stuff that's on the way.
So. Well, the visual of it is, it really stands out. So they see it and hear it and anticipate it, absolutely.
Tom Lanter, what else does the school district and a specific school like Godbey need from the community? How can folks get maybe even more involved with you guys to help out in this regard? Can they?
Sure. We have a mentoring program that we run at Godbey, and we're always looking for mentors. We have probably we have more students that need mentors than we have mentors. So our Dean of Students, Chris Warfel, is in charge of our mentor program. So that's one way that people can help. They could donate to our food bank. We are always looking for more food in our food bank. That's something they can do. And just being involved in their children's lives, be involved in your life, come to school, meet with guidance counselors, meet with teachers, know what's going on, be a part.
Yeah, because traditionally in this country, schools have been a community center as much as anything else. We know how, again, times change. And, after the regular school hours, it's a different situation. You don't stay open usually till 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night like maybe they did in the old days. But still, there are a lot of opportunities for people to give back by getting involved in the schools. And who knows whose life you're going to touch there?
Absolutely. That's so true.
That is a great thing. Just a few moments remaining to go. Any final thoughts from you, Ms. Becky Liner?
Gosh, Tom, that's a loaded question. I always have something to say. I would just, as a parent, I would want people to help me and help my child if I was in this situation. And I think if we, you know, going back to what I said earlier, if we think of the children in our community as ours, then everybody can do something to help those children. So nothing is too small. No donation of food, no working a shift at a full summer, no financial donation. We've had a number of businesses who not only put together a team, but they send us a donation. And there's some fabulous corporate support. And not, you know, it's not a huge amount, but every single penny helps us feed children and families who need the food.
When you look at the number of organizations in town, and we may not have big corporate headquarters like a city, say, of Atlanta's stature or Chicago, but boy, we have some very, shall we say, prosperous organizations here in town.
And big-hearted and generous organizations.
And that is what it really, really takes. I can see Sherry Hubbard nodding in agreement there. Same for Second Harvest Sherry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
It's always good to have someone that you can adopt that goes beyond the confines of your own organization. And you guys have been just on the front lines of this situation since time immemorial. So, again, to all the folks over there near the airport and that big warehouse, if your company, your office is looking for something to get involved with, I think you can always use the help on Saturday for that, can't you?
Well, pretty much any day of the week, Monday through Friday, and sometimes Saturday too. But anyone who's interested in putting together a volunteer event or just coming out as an individual can reach out to me. I'd be delighted to tell them more about opportunities to volunteer with us and give back.
Very fine. And Laurie Messer, of course, the progenitor of this full summer initiative here, onward and upward, looking forward to year number 8 after this one then, right?
Yes, we will do it. As long as we can physically handle it. And we're hopeful that some young person who's grown up doing it with us will take it over. And, you know, when you get, and it will go on in perpetuity. Or, better yet, we won't need to have it anymore. Yeah. Because there will not be, you know, be no hungry children. So that's the goal.
Beautifully put. Really appreciate it. And Todd Lantner, again, thank you for coming on and talking about how Godbee High School has been involved, low these 4 years. You're going to go for number 5?
Yes, sir. We will. I think I can speak for my principal, Mr. Desmond Cole, that this is something that we would love to continue to do.
All righty. Folks, this has been a great discussion. I really appreciate you all coming in on Perspectives. And I know at some point, Laurie, I'll back up what you're saying. You're always welcome here, but at some point, be nice to say, hey, we got this one knocked. Let's move on to something else here. And thanks to all the folks who have gotten involved. Quick program note here before we go to our final wrap-up of the situation. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to attend a community-based meeting over at the Department of Health facility on Orange Avenue, also known as the C.K. Steele Memorial Highway. And the Florida Department of Health in Leon County was in charge of this community conversation on a really painfully uncomfortable topic. It's kind of cringeworthy, and it's something we don't like to think about. But we have a rapidly growing incidence of sexually transmitted diseases in our area, which includes one that was considered to be almost eradicated, syphilis, which is making a sudden reappearance in our area. And we are sadly breaking all kinds of records when it comes to the increase in that incidence. What the heck is going on, and how's the community responding? We'll put together our own panel next week right here on Perspectives to address that one, and we are always happy to hear from you if you're involved in any kind of public health component here in our community, or you've got some knowledge of the sorts of resources that might be able to be brought to bear on that topic. We can't wait to hear from you. That's coming up next week right here. Perspectives produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. Technical assistance from Evan Rossi today and Lydell Rawls on all of the interconnects. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Have yourself a good week and a good Passover Easter weekend. We will Talk again next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.